that the idea of doing foreign versions of Home Alone Plus?
Home Alone.
Home Alone's the opposite of Full House.
It's the complete opposite.
Home Alone's the opposite of Full House.
Yeah, the polar opposite.
Ooh, I couldn't be more wrong if I tried. Movie versus TV show.
Yeah.
House full of girls, one little boy.
They can't do a crossover of Full House and Home Alone. They can't do it.
What if the guys who broke into Home Alone tried to break into the Tanner house?
No, they have to move into the Tanner house.
Well, if you couldn't handle one kid, and Full House is a full house, it's full of children.
That guy keeps getting hit in the head.
Are we recording?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
the guy keeps hit in the head with, like, the paint cans. And Uncle Joe, well, it's great. Paint cans. And he's like, what is this guy doing? I'm breaking into your house. It's the worst.
Oh, my God. They're never home alone. The house is always full.
Joe Pesci.
Yeah, that was
not Joe
Pesci. I was going to assume that was the other guy.
No, yeah. I can't remember his name.
Yeah,
Chris Elliott and Joe Pesci. Elliott?
Yeah, I think so.
Really? Definitely a Chris Elliott lookalike.
Yeah, I don't think it was Chris Elliott.
Maybe not.
For sure.
He was always Chris Elliott to me.
He looks like Chris Elliott for sure. I don't know if he's Chris Elliott.
Yeah, I don't think it is.
I think it's a guy with Chris Elliott-esque fame.
Chris Elliott doesn't emote that much.
I don't think he's that physically large.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I don't think it's him.
It's Daniel Stern.
Yeah, as an avid watcher of Get a Life as a child,
yeah,
I would have known if Chris Elliott was in a movie.
He's Chris Elliott-like, though.
I made it a point, actually, to see every movie that I could that had Chris Elliott in it. I saw Cabin Boy probably 100 times.
What about Something About Mary?
Not a big enough part.
Really?
For me to be interested, yeah.
Spoiler for Something About Mary, turns out to be a bigger part than you thought.
Is it?
Yeah, have you ever seen it?
No, I've never seen it, actually.
Are you serious? Wow.
I know the semen hair thing.
That semen hair thing's a culture thing at this point.
Yeah.
You gotta flog the dolphin or something?
I think that's about as much as I really have seen of it, actually.
It's
one of those ones that just missed me.
For a 90s movie, it's pretty funny.
Okay, I'll look into it at some point.
You don't have to, but
if it's on TV, I'll look into it.
If it is, it's actually of all those, that era of movies is pretty funny, I think.
Launched the career of the Farrelly brothers.
Who are they?
They did Me, Myself, and Irene, that movie about the conjoined twins. I'm getting a lot of blank looks from you.
Yeah.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. I actually have paid to see the movie Stuck on You 3 times. What? And have only watched it once.
Wait, what? Oh, so you're getting into other movies.
Movie hop again. Yeah. I once movie hopped from Stuck on You to Return of the King on the opening Friday, which is a bad decision because they guarded the door and we had to come in late. So the first time I ever got to see Return of the King, Lord of the Rings, Return of the King, I was in the front row all the way to the left. Huh. Which is probably the worst way
I saw Two Towers.
Really?
Yeah, except I was all the way to the right. And I bought tickets for Spider-Man 2, I think.
I knew we would be friends.
I don't think I've ever actually bought a movie ticket and then not gone to see the movie that I paid for.
That just means you're a decent person.
One time, me and a friend went and saw The Ring. And we got into the theater. I guess it must have been relatively near its release date or whatever, because we got in and there were no seats anywhere. And so I guess being the narcs that we are, we went out and we were like, hey, we bought tickets to this movie and there's no seats. So the guy was like, well, we're going to the bottom of this. And he came out and he threw out some teenage girls that didn't have tickets, and then we took their seats.
You know, good on you, though.
I would have, in retrospect, been okay with not seeing The Ring.
Hi, welcome to the podluck.
I was going to run down that.
I had to throw that out there at some point.
I was going to do a rundown of the filmography of the Farrelly brothers. Dumb and Dumber, Kingpin, Something About Mary.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I knew they did Kingpin.
Me, Myself, and Irene, Shallow Hal.
I kind of like Kingpin.
My favorite on the list, The Ringer, that Johnny Knoxville film about Special Olympics.
Oh, yeah.
I actually saw that, and everyone thinks that the movie is like Johnny Knoxville making fun of people who are mentally challenged. And the whole movie is Johnny Knoxville getting the shit kicked out of him.
Right.
And it employs, I want to say they said, like, they made a point of, like, they employed, like, 30 actors, all of which you have, different disabilities.
Yeah, it doesn't surprise me.
I think
as weird as it sounds,
you can't market that movie.
I like Johnny Knoxville.
I do.
I actually really like him, and I think he's funny. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it doesn't surprise me that they would be halfway decent about that.
Yeah, I completely in that agree.
Particular movie.
You first of all, you couldn't make the movie if it was the other way.
No.
And the second thing was, the movie I think actually was like had the green light from like the Special Olympics,
right?
Because I'm pretty sure they called it the Special Olympics in the thing.
Right, right.
I'm sure the Special Olympics are just like, you know, we've been this amazing organization our entire time, but it's time to cash on the Johnny Knoxville hype train. Forget about everybody's feelings for a second. I don't think they're going to want to do that.
Yeah.
They built up all this goodwill just to cash in off that jackass bandwagon.
Is Steve-O still alive?
I think.
I was always positive that he was going to be the first to go.
The thing is, I think it's just that he's so hardy like, he can't be broken by now.
I just thought that eventually there would be just some unfortunate accident.
I didn't think it would be Ryan Dunn.
Yeah. I thought Steve-O.
That's what happens when you drink and drive.
He seemed like the one that...
is the craziest, yeah.
Yeah, like, if he was going to do something that was going to go wrong, it seemed like it would have been him.
We are in a unique spot because we were, like, the Jackass generation growing up.
We were the Jackass and South Park and all that shit generation.
Yeah, yeah, everything really flipped, like, on its head. And yet you could think that we're more, like, PC than ever because of, like, all that stuff kind of blowing up.
I mean, personally, like, yeah, I mean, I don't know that I'm necessarily indicative of what everybody else who grew up in that era is like, but I remember I always thought Jackass was probably was really stupid, and then I saw the movies, and I was like, actually, this isn't as dumb as I thought it was.
It's
this looks pretty funny.
It's like the kids in high school who you knew were just like, I'm not really interested in getting a 4.0. I'm just interested in having fun.
Yeah, yeah, kind of.
Adam and I once ran into a kid who really, really, really wanted us to watch him jump off a wall.
Yeah.
Like, two flips off a wall. Do you remember that?
Oh, was that while we were in school?
Yeah.
Oh,
we had a camera because we were recording a video project.
I kind of remember this.
And he came over to us and he's like, hey, check this out. And he just, like, ran up the wall, like, all parkour.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
I kind of remember that.
It's like the opposite of a hidden talent. He wants to show it off to everyone.
Yeah. Well, as soon as there's a camera... I'm not a good person to tell the story if you become too involved in it. But, so when I was a teacher... you know, I met all sorts of kids or whatever, and there was one young man who I encountered numerous times over the, you know, 3 years or whatever that I was teaching, and I saw this kid go from maybe like a 7th grader to a 10th grader, right?
You've seen his evolution.
And so he went through the whole teenage thing.
You saw his worst years.
Well, it's not so much worse, because he was pretty innocuous the whole time.
Okay.
But, you know, like, when kids get into high school, it's when they start becoming some weird, like, midway Pokemon version of themselves. Like, they're the Charmeleon.
Yeah.
You know, they're disobedient, and they're edgy or whatever. So I got to see this sort of, thank you, this sort of, you know, weird kid go through this phase on, like, a day-by-day basis or whatever. And what was kind of always endearing about it, no matter how just odd he was and how odd the rest of the kids regarded him as, was that he was, like, honing some pretty shocking talents the entire time he was doing this stuff. Every time I saw him in my last year working, he would stop me and ask me to pick a card out of a deck of cards, because apparently he had made it a point to get very good at card tricks. And he was, in fact, very, very good at card tricks. And, you know, he was really good at it, but everybody else in the school hated it because they had been asked to, you know, pick a card, any card, maybe, like, 7-8 times a day for an entire school year.
They're jaded to it.
Yeah, but he was really good at card tricks. He was a really, really good guitarist. He had, like, the whole, like, metal thing going on. And I went to see a bunch of students wanted me to come to the talent show, which I probably wouldn't have gone to otherwise. But I was like, yeah, sure, I'll be supportive. I'll go to this talent show. And this kid was in it. And I was like, oh, okay, that's cool. What is he going to do? Oh, he's going to play the guitar. He's very exciting. So he comes out, and he's sort of an awkward kid. So he comes out, decked out in, like, the black makeup and the torn-up clothes and just absolutely looking like a...
He really sold
crazy,
it,
yeah, like, death metal icon. And he comes out, but he comes out just like a normal thing. He's just walking, like, dragging his guitar behind him or whatever. And he just stands there and he starts to play. And as soon as he starts to play, it's like, you're blown away by, like, this, you know, almost virtuosic, just like... him. He's like lifting the guitar over his head, and he's just like doing all sorts of crazy shit. Like 5 minutes of just like nonstop intense noodling on his guitar, and then he just stops. And, like, nods kind of, and then he just walks off.
The understated metal act.
He just walks off stage. There's no ceremony to it. He doesn't go, like, yeah, or anything. He doesn't flash the horns. He just walks away.
Well, that was my time.
Yeah. It was surreal.
I've got the hard part down, so I'm not going to worry about the easy part.
Yeah, exactly.
Anyone could just, you know, act all like they're, you know, hot shit out there or whatever. But I just got the goods. That's all I got.
Maybe I should go to break now.
See you later. Show.
We'll be right back after these messages. Fuck, I didn't read it. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's been good in everything I've seen him in.
He's from Jenkintown.
Yeah, good for him.
Good for Bradley Cooper making it.
Although, to be fair, all I've seen him in is The Hangover and Guardians of the Galaxy.
You haven't seen Silver Linings Playbook?
I did not, no. Dude. I did not. I don't know, it's just not, weirdly just not a movie that I went to. I don't know, you know what I mean?
Like, I think you'll like it.
I've heard nothing but good stuff about it.
It's got the Eagles in it.
Well, one, it's got the Eagles in it, but two, I've never seen a more wonderful portrait of two people in a relationship with mental illness. Yeah, other than my own life.
I was going to say, is it just like about everybody in the world? Like everybody in Philadelphia?
Yeah.
Doesn't the end of that movie basically promote gambling too?
The end of the movie, well, the whole movie pretty much is all, glorifies gambling. Huh. His dad's like a bookie.
Oh, okay.
Well, like not a shit bookie. Like
right. A good old fashioned like Philadelphia movie.
It's so good.
Okay.
Because everyone is pretty terrible.
Okay, alright.
Even, like, you'd think meeting, like, Jennifer Lawrence's character, you're like, oh my god, this is the belle of the movie, she's absolutely gorgeous, and no, she's just a shithead,
sure,
too.
I'm sure, well, she's from Philly, so yeah. I'm sure. Yeah.
They're down there in, like, Ron, or Arch.
That's it's funny. Like, no.
They're over in, like, actual, like, I think you're Jenkintown or whatever.
Okay. That sounds funny, actually.
It's actually really good.
Alright. It's on Netflix. I'll look at it.
It'll hit you in the heart a little bit, too. Right. At least it did me.
Jennifer Lawrence.
What's up?
I said, I like Jennifer Lawrence.
Big fan
actually,
of Jennifer
I don't
Lawrence.
Think I've ever seen her in a movie, which is weird, because she's in, like, 20 of them.
She's in X-Men.
Yeah.
Yeah, I haven't seen X-Men.
You haven't seen any of the new ones? New X-Men.
No, I haven't seen one since X3.
She's good. She's actually good.
Yeah, I've heard that.
I wish she did. Yeah, and she's really good in Hunger Games.
Yeah. I haven't seen that either.
Yeah, Hunger Games.
She's good in this.
Did I say before I saw Divergent?
You might have. Did you mean Hunger Games?
No.
Okay.
No, I saw Divergent this past week.
Oh, okay. Okay. Oh, okay.
I just wasn't sure if I told you guys.
No, I don't think so.
Was it? I mean, it seemed to me like it was a pretty like naked play at that Hunger Games money.
I mean, it's young adult
it's
fiction.
Similar...
It's literally like she's different. They're after her because
I mean,
she's
it's similar,
different.
That's
but...
just going to be all young adult fiction from now.
Yeah,
there,
I know,
I mean...
but it's literally called Divergent.
Yeah. Wow. But the point, I mean, the whole movie is actually pretty good.
Okay.
I know,
it's
I
it's pretty good
it.
For it if you walk into it knowing that it's young adult fiction or whatever.
Right.
It's pretty good.
One
the
of
only,
my,
there's like one cringeworthy line near the end where they use the title of the book, but
oof.
That's, you know.
One of my favored students was really, really into those books.
My sister really
liked them. She really liked them.
Like, my sister really likes them, and they're actually fairly good.
Okay.
I've sat through some very bad movies.
Right.
Like, the Twilight movies.
Like the
right.
ones you've talked about on this
right.
podcast.
Yeah. So it's not like
the
bad.
Ones that haven't gotten released to air.
It's
right.
like actually
think.
A pretty good movie, then. It's not
I,
like
I
a
like,
Twilight
I,
like,
I think it's
actually,
a
good.
It's a worse version of The Hunger Games.
Okay, so...
In a way.
Okay.
It's a little bit... It's not as good as The Hunger Games.
Okay, all right.
I feel like The Hunger Games is a much better... a much mature job of the message you're trying to give. But Divergent's not bad.
Okay, alright. I'll... That's one that that me and Laura were thinking about
the
seeing,
whole,
but...
The whole thing about Divergent, I don't know if anyone is uninitiated, it's like post-apocalyptic-ish, whatever, kind of like Hunger Games. Not very much with a totalitarian government. The... Everyone, every person is...
Are we on here?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Every,
we are going out to the world.
To
okay.
the world.
Hi.
To iTunes.
Sorry.
We're going to have to break
sorry.
A commercial.
Tumblr.
Sorry, the producers give me signals.
Everyone's split into five different
factions. One is, like, the people who are intelligent, they research everything, their job's to know everything. So how could that go wrong? Just an entire faction of intelligent people?
Now, you're separated based on some kind of, like, test, right?
You take a test when you're, like, 13 or something.
Okay, so it's, like, a societal...
Yeah.
Okay.
Exactly.
These aren't, like, warring factions. They're
Everyone does something different.
So you're, like tracked.
There's, like, an honest faction. They don't really talk about them much.
I'm sure they're important.
They just... Well...
honest
we'll
faction?
There's, like... They're kind of, like, honest. Yeah, they're kind of, like...
Are they, like, the Confucian virtues? Like,
well, like, they'll walk up to someone and be like, why are you doing this? And they'll be like, well, I'm doing it because of this. And they're like, no, you're not. You're doing it because of why. And so they're like, oh.
They're like philosophers.
Oh, I heard the truth. I don't want to hear the truth.
Kind of sounds like the Ministry of Information, kind of. Kind it's of. Like reverse propaganda.
Yeah.
Literally, like, that's the whole thing behind them is, like, they'll just say the truth or whatever they think is the truth.
So it's just the Larry David.
Oh, yeah. Okay. It's really weird. Okay. There's those two.
Okay.
There's the people who farm and sustain everyone.
It's like laborers.
Yeah, sort of thing. Like, people who are giving, that sort of thing. But there's another type of giving where they're called abnegation or whatever. Like, they like, help feed the poor. And, like, take care of them. They take care of other people.
They're, like, altruistic, selfless kind of.
Yeah, they shun vanity, and that's where the main character's from.
Okay.
And then there's the Dauntless, who are badass.
They're, like,
they're the cops.
Soldier class.
The cops, soldiers, and, like, every time you see them, they're, like, jumping alpha shit or, like, climbing stuff for no reason.
Okay, this actually sounds kind of interesting.
It is.
Yeah, this sounds interesting. Okay.
But, like, the whole idea is that you get... When you're old enough, you take the test, and the test tells you where you should go, but you get to pick where you go.
Okay.
So, like, your family's from your faction and everything like that. The whole idea is faction before blood, that sort of thing. But, like, say the test goes and you're like, well, you go with the honest people. That's exactly where you should be. But you're supposed to be from another fam, like you're from a different faction.
Sort of like how you can tell the sorting hat where you want to go, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. Sort of. Yeah, exactly. But the whole thing about it is, if you like screw up and wash out, or like you decide that you don't want to be in that faction anymore, that's tough shit. You can either stay in the faction or go factionless, and
you're there for life.
But when you go factionless, you are like ultra homeless.
Right.
Like, you literally have nothing anymore. You're just like
a piece of
garbage.
So isn't
not
the girl,
poo though? Because you're gonna say poo.
I was gonna say poo, but
they're not gonna flush you.
No, they're not gonna flush you out. They're literally just gonna be like, you can stand over there, and then they're like, but there's nothing over here, and they're like, exactly.
That's it's like if someone pooped on the sidewalk, I'm sure that would actually get cleaned up pretty quick. But if you throw like a can of soda on the sidewalk, it might stay there for a long time.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's the sort of thing. You're just there.
You're just human debris.
The whole concept is fairly interesting.
Yeah, that sounds
for sure.
It sounds like some of the lives are a lot easier than other ones.
Yes,
I would probably want to join the truth teller one. Yeah, my job seems pretty easy.
Yeah, they don't go into that one as much as I would like, but... Yeah.
But I imagine, like, the people who get into the Dauntless one, like, to them, that isn't easy. Like, they want that.
Right.
Like, they're like, yeah, I want to climb shit and shoot things.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, that to them, that
is... It's pretty good. It's a popcorn-y movie. Like, okay. Sit down. I put it as in The Hunger Games, but I don't think you can analyze it as much as The Hunger Games.
Okay,
but
so what it's if, more of just a story. Than
what if
a
someone
message?
Takes yeah, the okay. test and doesn't fit into any of those five categories?
And that's where,
then they are divergent.
Yeah, exactly. That's
then you hit the fucking alarm.
Yeah.
You go Chronicles of Riddick on this shit.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. The movie, it's okay. Not bad. It's right, of so. The of the young adult movies, I'd probably put... Harry Potter, probably at the top.
Masterful.
Harry Potter's just really good. As someone who didn't really get on the Harry Potter hype train for a long time.
Yeah, same here.
Harry Potter is definitely tops.
Yeah.
Hunger Games is below that. Divergent is probably somewhere in this 3 to 5.
Okay.
For me.
What else is on that list?
I think for a lot of people, Chronicles of Narnia.
Oh yeah,
I don't even think I've watched it. But
I've read almost all the books of that, and so the only two major problems that I have with them are A, the sort of inconsistency in the way the stories are told, and then B, the kind of casual racism that frequently peeks its head around like every corner, which it just you know, it's not even overt, but it's just, it's definitely there.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's definitely, like, always there and never. It's one of those things where, like, there is not a single, like, relatable or admirable or even, like, humanized character who is not, like, white, Anglo-Saxon, British. Like, anybody else is, like, just trash.
Where would you put Atlas Shrugged, Chance?
Oh, God. For young adult?
Yeah.
Young adult fiction that were made into films? Good, I don't know.
Is Atlas Shrugged young adult fiction?
I mean, it's taught as young adult fiction, actually, in school.
Is it? I thought it was Anthem.
Well, Anthem, I think, was our go-to, but a lot of people, I think, read Atlas Shrugged or Fountainhead.
Oh, it sucks.
Yeah, it does suck.
That sucks a lot for them.
Yeah, because I finished Anthem in half an hour.
Yeah, Anthem's pretty sure.
Part 3 is out, available on Blu-ray right now.
God bless.
Oh, damn.
Yeah.
God bless.
Those movies just snuck out.
What else is, like,
well, yeah, because they had to crowdfund the funding for the last two.
Oh, good.
So I'm sure they look great.
I'm glad they had to do that.
Yeah.
Sorry.
What other? I'm trying to think of other young adult.
It's actually funny, because the free market rejected Atlas Shrugged Part 1.
That's awesome.
They went forward with Part 2 and 3. Yeah.
The exact opposite of Anne Rand's vision.
Yeah.
Trying to think of what other young adult. What can you signify into the young adult?
Oh, The Maze Runner. That's popular, right?
Kids like
The Maze Runner. Yeah. There's a movie of that, I think.
I haven't seen it.
Neither have I.
I'm trying to think of what else, like.
Oh, Percy Jackson.
Since we were kids.
Percy Jackson.
What was that one with the bear?
Oh. The Golden Compass.
Yes. Yeah.
His Dark Materials, I think is what they're called.
Yeah,
actually, you know what? Those are fucking super neat, actually. It's just, they're never going to make more movies of that.
No, they're not. But it has, like, talking, fighting war bears in it.
Yeah, so. And they
get, always a positive.
And those get really crazy, like, in terms of their ideology.
Yeah.
They get, like, really intense.
I'm trying to think of other stuff. Not even, like, I'm thinking, like, book or movies.
Oh, okay.
I'm trying to think, too.
Are there ones that really aren't, like, really based on books? I feel like most of them.
Most of them are based on books, because, I mean, I feel like a lot of the times they don't want to take a risk on something like that.
When I was a kid, I really liked those, the Madeline L'Engle books.
Wrinkle in Time.
Yeah, Wrinkle in Time, Wind in the Door, Swiftly Filtering Planet. I actually recently read one of the weirder ones, Many Waters. I'd never read that one as a kid. It was fucking freaky. yeah.
I was a big fan of a series of books. I don't know if you heard of them. The Goosebumps books?
I'm not familiar.
I think it's Goosebumps?
I recently found this. This is when last year I was going through, like, a little mini Star Wars nostalgia thing when I rewatched the movies, and I dug through some of the old books that I had got from book fairs and stuff elementary book school, fair. Which were fun. I miss those.
Hopefully if kids have books in their possession, they'll read them.
right. So I had a Star Wars book that I probably had gotten just because it was a Star Wars book because I was in fourth grade.
Most definitely.
But it was the Star Wars Galaxy of Fear, which I don't know. Did either of you guys ever experience these books?
No.
I heard of them. They're like Goosebumps, but Star Wars.
Yeah, they're supposed to be like children's horror stories.
I read the first two or three. Because the first one is about that living planet, right?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Yuuzhan Vong?
There's a couple really interesting.
Yuuzhan Vong are completely different.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And they're not even canon anymore.
This was like before
Which
that,
is bullshit.
I think.
Want some Vong in the movies?
I want some Vong up in the movies.
Well, so they were kind of neat, though, because they were like one of the first times I read a Star Wars book that was. Not about. It wasn't a sequel. It wasn't about.
Not actually the book.
Right.
Not actually the movie, excuse me.
Yeah, it wasn't actually the movie, and it also wasn't, like, supposed to be a sequel to the movie. It, like, took place between, loosely between episode 4 and episode 5.
Yeah, because they're two, like, refugee kids from Alderaan who travel around with their grandfather.
Yeah, their uncle, who is, like, a shapeshifter.
Okay. Right.
And it's actually, it gives you way more of a look into the daily life and workings of the societies of the Star Wars universe than pretty much any other piece of the Star Wars fiction does.
Probably mind-blowing for you at that point.
Yeah, so I was reading it, like, I made a point of flipping through and rereading a couple chapters of this, and I was like, this is actually kind of interesting, because in the movies we don't really get to see people, like, especially normal people, just interacting with the Empire. mm-hmm. like at all. Yeah. Like we know they're bad or whatever, but we don't really.
But
know,
you don't like,
actually
see them on the ground.
Yeah, exactly. You don't see like what a normal person's interaction. Yeah. With someone who won't just get shot by the Empire.
I actually distinctly remember the very beginning of the first book for some reason.
Yeah.
I think it was because it was like the first mention of a video game in a book I was reading.
Right.
I think the two kids are playing like an X-Wing versus TIE Fighter type video game.
Right.
Against each other, and I think the boy is complaining because the sister always wins,
yeah.
but she picks a TIE Fighter, and the game was like made by the Empire, so the TIE Fighter always wins.
That's funny.
That's really funny.
Yeah.
Oh, we know they're not dating because she wins all the time. She doesn't win just
they're brother
by accident. Well, I'm saying if they were to be in a relationship,
oh, right.
like a perfect relationship.
that
you don't know what they get up to on Alderaan.
That's true.
There was actually also a weird like subplot in those books.
I hope there's a mini golf course on Alderaan.
Not anymore.
Nowhere's indoors anymore for us to hang out and make fun of people.
There was another subplot that involved the girl was always on this thing called the HoloNet that was like a weird
proto internet.
Yeah, it was like a proto internet, and she was in like weird like chat room style communications with this mysterious person called Force Flow, who was strongly implied to be Luke Skywalker, although he didn't appear.
I like the idea of Luke Skywalker.
Like, chatting with kids about the Force on the internet.
Yeah, in his downtime.
Yeah. Well, it's almost like, he's out there just being, like, spreading the gospel of the Force through the internet. Because that's where Obi-Wan's dead.
He's grassroots.
It's actually kind of funny.
That's terrible.
His email would get banned for the name Force Flow.
Probably, yeah.
And he mentioned
It must have been, like, an undernet thing.
Right.
Like a Mega Man Battle Network, like a secret internet.
Oh my god, that's
funny. Or maybe the HoloNet was controlled by, like, something the Empire couldn't touch.
Yeah,
it's like the Tor Network or whatever.
Star Wars Anonymous or something.
So I found those books, and I was just like, these were, I don't know, it took me back a little bit. Interesting time.
Yeah, it's always fun when, like, the actual details of daily life are fleshed out in, like, a high fantasy world.
Yeah.
Because it makes it less absurd.
Yeah. Absolutely.
I feel like the people who are fans of those things wouldn't want to see that, but they totally do.
I mean, I know. I personally do. Like, honestly, that's kind of more interesting to me than the, like, warfare stuff.
Yeah, to some I guess extent. If you can make any of that stuff entertaining, then you've actually done a really good job of fleshing out the universe.
Yeah, absolutely. That's I mean, I like lightsaber fights, too, but...
I remember they have to, like...
Sir, we all...
We're all fans of lightsaber fights.
Just calm down.
Yeah.
I remember I had, like, the complete guide to the Star Wars characters and the vehicles and stuff when I was a kid.
Yeah.
So I knew all this crap from, like, all these books that are, like, I had even never heard of.
Planet Annihilators.
Yeah. What was one?
That's kind of how it was, though, back then. Like, you got all that supplementary stuff because you liked the main thing.
Yeah.
And sometimes, like, your family, and I saw it till this day when, like, I worked retail, and someone would just be like, give anything that's Doc McStuffins. Yeah, sure, I got, like, this book. And they're like, just give me the book. Like, and they'll buy it for their kid.
Right.
Like, you've been on the receiving end of that when you've liked stuff.
Yeah, absolutely.
Like, and a lot of the time, just the fact that it was about the thing you liked was really cool.
Yeah, there's tons of stuff that I have just because it was Star Wars.
Yeah, exactly.
The stuff about the Death Star was the most interesting to me. Because it was like this logistics. Weird... It was not just like a battleship with a big laser. It was also like a weird cruise ship. Like, apparently there were like casinos and parks and recreation and stuff.
That's weird. Because
it was like the size of a fucking moon.
Yeah, I guess so, there's like, just so much room.
Yeah, you just put whatever you want
in there. You gotta fill up the room.
Yeah.
Because it has to be as big as a moon.
Yeah, we don't need... I mean, really, if you want to be honest, we just need the laser.
Right.
But, you know...
Right.
You want to throw a couple tennis courts in there, too. I guess we can.
You gotta have some amenities.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And you gotta add that stuff in mostly for resale value.
Right. Is that just honestly. For the, like, stormtroopers?
I guess
so. Are they
so.
Just trying to get the stormtroopers to spend their stipends?
Maybe their families live with them.
Yeah.
Are they clones in those movies or not?
Not clear.
What's the consensus there?
Not clear.
Okay. No,
but, because at that, I think it was like a mix, maybe.
I thought most of the clones died in that Clone War.
No,
I don't think they did, actually.
No, they stuck around to kill Jedi.
The Clone War went really well for them, actually, if I remember correctly.
Or if it didn't, they just made more of them.
Right.
Yeah, that's true.
Probably the Clone Wars went
funny thing about
bad for the Jedi's, actually, I think was the idea.
Funny thing about clones is you could just, you know, make more of them.
Yeah. There's a process.
Yeah.
You know what's weird is that, like, you know, we heard about the Clone Wars in the movies
before,
even in, like, the books that I'm sure we all read before these prequels came out. And, like, That is not what I thought the Clone Wars was going to be like.
Me either.
Yeah.
I assume they were
Cartoon
fighting...
Cartoon Network? Crazy.
Oh, that... The, like, 2003 Clone Wars cartoon is, like, the craziest action cartoon ever made.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's, like, the best Star Wars thing ever.
Yeah,
like,
really.
Very,
it really
very,
is.
Very closely.
It makes General Grievous look so much cooler than he was in the movies.
Yeah, in the cartoon, he's, like, an unstoppable monster.
Yeah, dude.
And he's, like, a joke in the movie. He was actually, like, a letdown.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jenna D. Karkowski should just do Star Wars.
He absolutely should. He should. What is he doing right now? Peanuts?
Okay, so this is like
I'm
the
serious.
Saddest
I think
thing.
He's doing Peanuts.
This is
right
like
now.
The, no, he's doing Popeye. Peanuts. He's doing no, he's doing Popeye.
Oh,
he's
Popeye.
Actually doing Popeye.
Okay, that could be cool.
I'm sure it'll be awesome.
Yeah.
I didn't see Hotel Transylvania. Apparently, that was him too.
Yeah. Well, it started without him, and then they brought him in. I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
Making that sweet Adam Sandler money. Good on him.
Yeah, but so depressing though. Like, because I fucking love everything he did. Basically.
That's
and
glad.
I didn't know about Symbionic Titan until it was already canceled.
Right. It only lasted like 2 seasons.
Not even. I think it was like 12 episodes.
It had that weird sexual tinge thing to it, didn't it?
It was...
like because it was like an older kids cartoon show?
Symbionic Titan... It was basically like the show that I had been waiting to come on Cartoon Network since I was 12.
Yeah.
Because it had like kind of the weird look of those like cartoons sort of. Like it was like a weird like mature Dexter's Lab Samurai Jack look. But it had, like, the subject matter of something from Toonami, but was still definitely, like, an American... I don't know, it was just, like, exactly this wonderful fusion of everything I loved about Cartoon Network just coming together and happening, and it got canceled.
It seems like they finally,
like,
let him do exactly the show he wanted to make, and then canceled it 12 episodes in.
So, because they said it wasn't toyetic.
Right.
And it's like...
And it's about aliens and robots.
Yeah, I would hurt somebody. Not really bad... Okay. But a little tiny... Like, I'd twist an arm if it meant that I could
break
get...
break it?
I wouldn't break it.
All right.
But I would twist someone's arm
like
if it meant that I
elbow.
Could get... Yeah. If it meant that I could get, like, a model kit of the Symbionic Titan.
Right.
You know? Like, that thing just looks badass.
How much stuff...
It's like a clear Big O.
Have you found out about after it was already done?
Like, almost
really
everything
cool.
I like.
That's the same thing that I feel. I feel like I find out about shit way after the fact, and then you're like, it'd be really cool if there's more of it.
I'm
looking
time.
Into something called Delta Blues. I don't know if you guys have heard of it.
The Delta Blues.
I'm hoping it's... I think it's going to stick around a little bit.
That show Arrested Development? Oh, wait, it actually is back.
It is
back. Yeah.
That kind of stuff does happen sometimes. That's the weird thing.
That's very odd.
Is it that kind of shit?
Well, they're remaking Twin Peaks now. They're
is
adding
it remaking
more.
Or sequel?
No, they're sequeling it.
Okay.
They're actually
that's
sequeling
great. That,
I
find I
mean,
that
crazy. Could be cool. I hope that's going to be good.
Yeah, I just...
There's new Dragon Ball Z movies now, too.
Well, I mean...
Like animated ones.
Yeah. I thought those were just going on forever.
No, there was definitely, like, a break.
Okay.
There was definitely a break. And then, like, after Dragon Ball Z Kai, they started just full-on making them again.
Right.
I haven't seen any of the new ones.
I think Dragon Ball Z is one of those things I assume will never die.
Yeah, like Gundam.
Yeah.
Although, the weird thing is that Dragon Ball Z hasn't gotten any worse. Like, I think because they've...
They figured it out.
They also haven't, like, tried to redo it. Like, they never were like, oh, we need to update Dragon Ball Z for a modern audience and, like, turned it into just, like, some weird new anime.
Yeah.
They pretty much just are like, okay, if you haven't watched Dragon Ball Z yet and you're a kid, just watch Dragon Ball Z. We're going to make a new game this year. So just go watch Dragon Ball Z, just watch the old one. We're not going to make a new one. And then come buy the new game. So, like, everything still references back to the original... Dragon Ball Z. It's not like with like the Avengers or Batman where they have to constantly reinvent them and modernize them. It's just Dragon Ball Z is this weird timeless thing for them.
Yeah. They don't need to remake it.
And they will always just all the media will reference right back to that. It's almost as if Steve Ditko or John Romita Spider-Man were still the face of Spider-Man, which would be awesome.
I just find it weird the obsession about recreating stuff. Like, I saw a commercial yesterday for The Odd Couple, and it's Tom Lennon and Matthew Perry from Friends. Chandler and Lieutenant Dangle are The Odd Couple, which honestly would be a better show.
Oh, yeah. Wait, they were in a movie together.
Were they?
I'm sure that Tom Lennon's in everything.
Yeah, they were in 16 again together with Zac Efron.
Tom Lennon also has a really
he does everything.
Lucrative career, like, writing shitty comedies.
Oh, yeah.
And I think he knows what he's doing.
He also has bit parts everywhere, too. He was Batman's doctor in The Dark Knight Returns. Or
Rises.
Or Rises, yeah, that's it. Dark Knight Rises.
Huh.
Yeah, he was
wasn't he?
He's like, yeah, you have, like, the back of a 60-year-old or something.
Yeah.
Or do a lot of, like, alpine skiing or something.
You know what's neat about those movies is that the further I get away from them, the less I like them.
I feel like that's a recurring thing with superhero movies.
Yeah. Because
The Avengers is like that for almost everyone I talk to.
Yeah, I don't ever want to see it again. You know, I don't even want to see the new one at all. Like, I'm not excited about it, even remotely.
Will I see... there's a time where I said 100% I would see it. Now I'm just like, do I really even want to go out to the theater? Like, I'll just wait for it.
Yeah. Like, I'm not in any rush
to go see it. The only movies I feel excited to see in a theater are ones I feel like will be gone after they're not in the theaters.
Well, that's why I wanted to see Birdman real bad.
Yeah.
Because that seemed like a movie that wasn't going to be, like, easy to find.
I wanted to see Birdman, and where the hell am I going to get it now?
Right, yeah, it was good. It won some awards, yeah. Allegedly. I didn't know this obviously when I was going to see it. I thought it was just going to be some weird comedy with Michael Keaton. I didn't really know anything about it.
Keaton, also a Batman.
He is also a Batman. Yeah. Well, it's funny, because the movie actually... Did you end up seeing it?
No, I actually didn't.
So, Scott, you saw it, right?
Yes.
So, the movie actually has a lot to say about... kind of comic book movie culture.
I was talking to you about this, I think Birdman is the perfect capstone to the era of superhero movies.
Yeah.
Because the whole idea behind Birdman is he played a superhero.
He played Batman in the 80s.
Yeah, and now he's at the end of his line.
And
he's trying to reinvent himself.
And in the world of Birdman, all these Avengers, Marvel movies, the new movies, are all happening.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, like, he's seeing all of these guys who are basically riding this tidal wave of success that, to some extent, he helped sort of open the door for.
Yeah. Like, he was Birdman, and then he's like, this is stupid, I don't want to do it anymore. Yeah.
I mean, basically, Michael Keaton's real life. Very, very close at that point.
I think portrayed more cynically.
Absolutely.
Than he probably feels.
Yeah.
But, yeah.
Hopefully, very sick.
That's
and actually, it's not... It's also really a movie just about, like, the theater.
It's
and
about
making a play.
It's about entertainment.
Yeah.
It's about like the culture around it, I guess.
Yeah.
And like it made me not want to see the Avengers. Like it made me feel bad about even entertaining the notion of seeing the Avengers because I felt like, shit. Yeah, it is kind of like a crappy, violent, warp, like awful. It's everything that's wrong
there's a pretty damning scene towards the end of Birdman.
Yeah.
Where they basically mock that ferociously, like CGI spectacle.
Yeah. It's actually a wonderful sequence.
It is
like,
great.
I gotta see it. My homework for the week will be, I'll watch Birdman, I'll come back.
All right.
Yeah.
I loved it.
I really liked it. But
I think I'll like it too. I have to actually get my ass in a seat and actually watch it for once.
I actually like have not liked Edward Norton that much and stuff. Like I thought he was a competent actor.
Yeah.
He is fantastic in Birdman.
He was really good.
He's like the greatest movie villain of all time.
He's like the best asshole.
Also had a huge falling out with superhero movies.
Yeah. Yes, almost everybody in that movie because there's Michael Keaton, mm-hmm. right? There's Ed Norton.
Marvel came out and said how shitty it was to work with Edward Norton.
Right.
They came out in a press release and talked about how they were so happy that Mark Ruffalo was now the Hulk.
Right.
And that
right.
he was probably the best person to ever play in this and that. Pretty much insinuating, and Marvel has said through other sources that Edward Norton was like just a pain in the ass to deal with.
I liked Eric Bana as Bruce Banner.
Sure. Right, but his movie didn't make money.
But his movie didn't make money, yeah.
It was the Ang Lee movie, right?
Yeah. Emma Stone was also in Birdman, and she just came off of doing the Spider-Man movies.
Right.
Make another one, and she's dating Andrew Garfield.
Well, she can't make another one because she died, didn't she?
Isn't she? Yeah, that's right.
Also, I think they canceled the third Spider-Man movie because the second one didn't perform anywhere near what they wanted.
Here's how many Spider-Man movies there are. I don't even know what the fuck happens in them.
Right.
There's that many.
Right.
There's so many.
Right.
I haven't seen either of the Amazing Spider-Man movies. They look like skateboard commercials to me.
So I saw.
Wait, they made a second one?
Yeah.
Yeah. It came out last
year. Oh, I saw the first one.
Yeah, okay, so I saw the first one.
Oh, so that's why. Okay, that's why I'm confused.
Yeah,
I saw the first
one. You're behind one.
Shit.
So I only saw the first one. And this was after having finally made my peace with the Sam Raimi ones. Because when that first one came out. Do I have time to talk about this?
No, yeah, you're good.
Yeah.
Okay.
And then we'll stop after this.
I loved Spider-Man as a kid. Like, I even before the cartoon came on, I, for whatever reason, really liked this character. I had, like, whatever meager action figures were available. I bought from a book fair a VHS tape that had, like, a bunch of episodes of the 60s cartoon or whatever. I just really liked when the cartoon came on in the 90s. I was all about that. I read the comics, even though they were impossible to keep up with as a kid because there was, like, 12 of them coming out monthly that all had the same interlocking storylines.
Right.
I have, like, half of Maximum Carnage and, like, an upsetting amount of the Clone Saga.
Right, because they would spread them out to make you buy multiple issues.
We can go into it another time how terrible the comic industry treats itself.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I actually did a lot of reading about the Clone Saga recently, but later. So I loved Spider-Man growing up, and then kind of, like, stopped reading comics maybe in, like, the late 90s just because I realized, like, I couldn't keep up with this. After the Clone Saga, I was, like, burned out.
Sure.
And really, that's not even that complicated what happens.
No, it just went on for a long time.
Yeah.
Like, that was the thing, is that there was too much to keep up with. There was too many books, and it went on for a super long time. And when it finally ended, like, I don't know if this means anything to anybody here or how big of Spider-Man fans you are, but, like, I liked Ben Reilly. I liked the Scarlet Spider. I really liked him as a character. So when they eventually let him take over as Spider-Man, I thought, oh, that's cool. I was on board with it. I like the new costume. I like the new direction. And then, like, literally less than a year, they kill him and bring back Peter. And I was just like, I don't know if I feel like reading this, because I felt like I'd been jerked around basically for my entire time I was reading this comic. Because I literally started reading at the beginning of the Clone Saga, where they're introducing this mysterious stranger into Peter's life. It's, to make a Kenshin comparison, it's like the Jinchu arc of Spider-Man. It should be this awesome culminating end of an era, and instead it's just a clusterfuck.
The thing is, Adam, and you must know that only I and, like, two people listening understand the Jinchu arc.
Don't Google search Jinchu arc.
Or if just buy the Rurouni Kenshin volumes. There's not that many of them.
Yeah, or read Rurouni Kenshin. Skip the anime. Right, it's good, but skip the anime. 15 seconds left?
We have some time.
I didn't... Do I have time?
No.
Shit.
All right, we're back.
All right.
We have time now. Okay. Time Wizards granted you a half an hour.
Oh, thank God. Okay, where was I? Clone Saga.
I don't know. You stop reading.
Okay. All right. Anyway, yeah. So I had this falling out with Marvel Comics. Just serious comic books in general. I started reading The Tick pretty much exclusively.
That's a good way to jump to.
It was a good counterbalance, I thought. And then from The Tick, I transitioned into, like, graphic novels and like, manga eventually. And there are still American comics that I read. I really like Hellboy and whatnot. But I still have never really gone back and gotten back into Marvel Comics or whatever. But that's a story for another time. So when the Spider-Man movie comes out, I still am fond of this character, right? I grew up with it. I never really hated Spider-Man. I just couldn't keep reading the comics. So I was kind of excited. Pretty much every movie trailer that I saw between the ages of 8 and, like, 14, I hoped would be a Spider-Man movie. So when they finally, I saw one that really was a Spider-Man movie, I was like, this is gonna be awesome.
The trailers are really cool,
too. Yeah, the trailer was awesome with the spider web between the ill-fated Twin Towers.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That they pulled after 9/11.
Yeah.
Rip.
But yeah, it was a friggin' great trailer. So then I actually didn't see it in theaters just because, you know, in high school didn't see movies all that frequently, but everybody seemed to love it. Everybody really, really liked Spider-Man. Spider-Man was hugely successful, too.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was fantastically successful.
People were pumped for it.
Yeah. And then I finally
Especially with a relatively small-time director, too.
Yeah.
Like, getting handed the reins.
I saw it twice in theaters, I think.
When I finally saw it.
Man, remember seeing movies multiple times in theaters? We'll get back to
this. I saw The Mummy 2 like 100 times. Yeah.
But we'll come back to this.
Just to go on dates. Like,
because
I had to see a movie. So Shrek 2 and The Mummy 2 I've seen so many times. Still really don't remember
Which movie had better batting averages? Which were more successful?
What if they all were zeros?
I was going to say pretty much the same. Yeah. Pretty much the same.
Because I would guess The Mummy Returns.
Why? The curiosity.
Shrek 2 would put me in a miserable mood.
Yeah.
Maybe you, but you're like, oh, David.
It's really about the date. It's about the date. Well, anyway, so I eventually saw Spider-Man.
If you're going on a date with a seven-year-old, you go to Shrek 2.
Yeah.
All right.
I go to Shrek 2 with a seven-year-old and I get up and leave halfway through.
Nothing's gonna make this fucking movie so
fucking awful.
She is not into me.
It might have been the first Shrek now that I'm thinking about it.
2001, I don't know.
You mean the funniest movie of all time?
Yes, that one.
The funniest movie of all time.
How could you not?
So I finally saw Spider-Man.
Yes.
And
we're out of time.
I didn't like it at all.
And we're back.
I didn't like even a second.
Really?
I absolutely hated it the first time I saw it.
Okay, the only experience I had with Spider-Man was playing Maximum Carnage for the Sega Genesis.
Well, I mean, anything's kind of a step up. From...
Yeah. I was like, oh, he can beat guys without getting hit to the floor like a million times. This is a great Spider-Man.
Yeah. So my issue was that, you know literally the issue that everybody has with, like, every fucking movie that comes out now
is that material.
Oh, it's not exactly like, yeah. But nobody ever complains that way about comic book movies because fucking at that time
they don't take them. Exactly.
Nobody was reading comic books like except me that I knew.
Yeah.
So I was the only person who was like, "That's not Spider-Man. That's not how Spider-Man acts. That's not the Spider-Man I've been waiting for. The Green Goblin looks fucking ridiculous."
There's a culture now where people, like, would say they love superheroes, but not comic books.
Right, yeah.
Like, I have a bunch of friends who, like, love Captain America and love Spider-Man stuff, who I've, like, given comics to, and they've read them and liked them, but they're not going to go out and read comics.
Right, exactly, yeah. Because they're into the movie, because everybody goes and sees the movies.
They just see the movie.
Everybody goes and sees those.
Yeah.
Everybody. Yeah. Like, I remember being in college and talking to an adult woman with children about Spider-Man.
And she's like,
I can't wait for Spider-Man 3 to come out. Love Spidey.
It's
and I was
shit.
Like, this is so fucking weird.
Gotta watch The Boys.
This is so weird.
Gotta watch The Boys.
I never thought that I would turn on the TV and listen to Jay Leno talking about Gwen Stacy.
Yeah.
I'd never talked to another human being about Gwen Stacy in my entire life. Nobody else knew who Gwen Stacy was.
It must have been so bizarre.
It was weird. It felt like something was being stolen from me.
That's like when your favorite band signs to the major label and they play on Jimmy Fallon.
That's such like a nerd anger thing.
I know. But you know what? I was like 13.
All right. Fair enough.
Like, I was a teenager.
No, seriously. It is your little segment of the population.
Yeah. And it was such a small thing before. And then... so excited to see it blown up like this because I loved the cartoon.
It whore itself out.
And then it wasn't at all what I was hoping for.
It's the girl you grew up with in middle school and stuff, and then she hit high school and got pretty, and then she never talked to you again.
It's like, and
is that something from your...
No, I think that's an archetype.
That's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing. Yeah, it's a thing.
I
mean, not me. That never happened to me, but...
No, I don't think it happened to me either.
But it's a thing. I mean, it doesn't need to be a girl. It could just be.
There was one girl in the first grade who was Israeli, who we had to dance together for some weird thing because they made us dance in the first grade.
Okay.
And I had a crush on her, and then she went back to Israel. Never saw her again. She was probably the one who got away.
Probably. She did.
Damn.
Well, I mean, we just had to start a Kickstarter to send you to Israel.
Send me to Israel.
That's what people do, right?
By the way,
we'll give you seeds. You can plant trees.
I'm not anti-Semitic, and that's a bad way to phrase it.
Here we go.
I don't want to go to Israel. It's scary.
I don't think that's anti-Semitic.
Oh, thank God.
I'm Jewish and I don't want to.
Ooh, thank God. I would want to go to Israel, dude. They have a wall to keep people out of that place. Fuck that.
That's a clear sign.
Yeah. You're going to wall yourself off because everyone within 360 degrees of you fucking hates you.
Yeah, but so does China. Well,
I don't really want
to
go to China.
China doesn't have a wall, but to
so
be honest.
North Korea.
To be honest, China has a shittier...
You're batting real low here, Scott.
What are
China,
you
China definitely has a shittier wall than
we're going to have one soon, guys.
Well...
We're gonna have like a chain link fence.
Yeah, I think we already do when people climb it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Got those guys in lawn chairs who are out there retirement guns.
Yeah.
So I eventually made my peace with the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies, and I realized that they didn't have to be exactly what I wanted Spider-Man to be. There was something still kind of fun about them.
Yeah.
I like the second one okay. There's even stuff that I fucking really think is funny about the third one.
Oh, it's, yeah.
The third one's...
If you look at that movie as a comedy, it's
the third
great.
One is the best superhero comedy ever written.
Yeah. Emo Spider-Man was the best.
So funny.
I remember Emo
and
Spider-Man.
The Sandman was amazing, actually. The Sandman was legitimately exactly what the Sandman should
be.
Yeah. Like, that man was born to play the Sandman.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I remember I went to see it with a bunch of our mutual friends, and out of nowhere... the Emo Spider-Man thing happens, and my hands are just up above my head in the theater. I was just so... like, he does, like, the hair flip.
Yeah.
And I'm just, like, losing my shit, and I love it. And four people are next to me just slack-jawed, like, the hell is happening right now?
I mean, it's kind of fucking great, because the sort of person that really likes the black suit Spider-Man arc...
would hate that so much.
Exactly.
Because it's not what it is at all.
The kind of person that loves, like, the, Spider-Man puts on the black suit,
and
he gets, like...
dark.
He's brutal.
And he's grim.
And then you get Venom, and, like... That movie is like a slap in the face to like that.
Well, because Sam Raimi was 90s clearly kid. Pressured by the studios to force Venom to be in that movie.
Yeah, exactly.
And he knew exactly how to make those people angry.
Yeah.
Because if Sam Raimi's good at anything, it's enraging
Mission
people.
Accomplished.
Yeah.
But like,
I got this Sandman thing. It's going to be the shit. I got the perfect guy. And yeah. And it's like, okay, well, we just hired Tova Grace to play Venom.
And this is how you know that like I'm like a weird old school Spider-Man fan. The Venom thing didn't even bother me. Because Venom, to me, is like kind of a silly 90s throw-in character right. of Spider-Man.
Spawn-esque.
Yeah. What bugged the shit out of me in that movie was the Green Goblin.
Yeah. Because, the third one?
Yeah, because James Franco playing the Green Goblin and really being the Green Goblin should have been fucking awesome. It would have been great. But instead, they put him in like goggles and a ski mask and give him a weird folding katana, and he doesn't need to be in the movie. Yeah. It's just a mess. And
he's pretty good at making omelets. Yeah, that scene?
Kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of James Franco, too, and that was probably the worst role I've seen him in.
Yeah, yeah. I really like a James Franco. I really wanted that to be great. My biggest beef with the first Spider-Man movie was also the Green Goblin, because Willem Dafoe is great.
Yeah.
He's fucking awesome.
Amazing actor, yeah.
He's wonderful, and he nails the personality of the Goblin. He does the duality thing great.
Yeah.
Like, and it's not like the bullshit modern Norman Osborn who's just evil all the time.
Yeah, who's like Darth Vader.
There's still a struggle there in the movie version of Norman Osborn. And he was great, but then as soon as he becomes the Green Goblin, he's in this fucking Power Rangers thing.
Yeah.
And it's like...
They even changed the voice, too. Like,
if they just put...
I think that was with a foe's voice. I think he was...
Yeah, I think he was just...
Maybe put it on. Yeah. Maybe he got a little... what's your name? Batman.
He's like
Christopher Baelish.
He's Christian, yeah.
Christian Baelish. I mean, Christopher Bale?
The Green Goblin.
Christopher Baelish.
Christopher
Baelish. He's an Irish theater actor.
Yeah, Christopher... Lord Baelish.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. How do I not know Batman's name?
He's not Batman anymore.
Well, he's not.
It's Michael Keaton's Batman.
That's right. I'm Batman.
So anyway, so when the new movies came around,
I like the idea that you had to be called Batman, like you had to be called President.
Yeah, you're Batman forever.
No, that's George Clooney.
No, it isn't. It's Val Kilmer.
You know what? Fucking do George Clooney's big like Batman Lifetime Achievement Award thing on the Golden Globes.
Yes.
All I can think about is Batman and Robin.
Batman and Robin.
Okay.
That's all I can think about.
I want to defend George Clooney here for a
second
because I have heard an anecdote where like some stand-up comedian met George Clooney and he fucking loved George Clooney. He's like, "Oh, I've seen everything you've ever been in. You're my favorite. You were such a great actor."
Yeah.
And he like George Clooney literally turns around and says, "What about Batman and Robin?"
George Clooney could totally get away with that.
I'm not saying anything bad about George Clooney. I just feel like they should have shown a clip of Batman and Robin that Lifetime Achievement Award. Because you gotta honor the lows and the highs.
Yeah. Batman and Robin, and even the Spider-Man movies, like, they can't really... Those superhero movies just don't do weird stuff anymore. The closest you're gonna get is, like, Thor throwing a coffee cup.
Yeah, which honestly, I think Thor... I laughed really hard at that. Honestly, I think, in retrospect, the Thor throwing the coffee cup thing... It's actually not that weird. It's like, that's definitely like to make Thor likable.
Yeah.
Because you make him like a weird kind of buffoon, sort of. Because the Thor of the comic wouldn't do that.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Omnipotent. Why would he do something so stupid?
Yeah. He's not dumb.
Yeah.
he's not a buffoon.
He's an actual god.
Yeah. He's a fucking noble whatever. Yeah. So.
Asgardian.
Yeah. Sort of like how Tony Stark doesn't really act anything like how Robert Downey Jr. acts as Tony Stark. Tony Stark's a much more like somber
person. Alcoholic.
Yeah. Anyway.
An alcoholic and an asshole.
Right.
Which. When they cast Robert Downey Jr., I was like,
"That's
play?
Perfect.
He's literally the perfect person to play Iron Man." But the problem is, Robert Downey Jr. is not a junkie anymore, and he's not crazy.
Right.
So he plays Iron Man he plays Tony Stark the way he wants to play him.
I mean, the first Iron Man movie,
the most charming man in the world.
Yeah, I think it works in the first movie because he's on top.
Yeah.
And Tony Stark's arc in the comic books is that he slumps.
He's literally the golden boy of like American technology.
Yeah, and he gets fucked. But we never really get that in the movies. He kind of always is the same, like, whatever.
He's just all good all the time.
Yeah, exactly. So
Justin Hammer,
right, and that kind of seems to be what they do with these movies. So when they announced the new Spider-Man movie, The Amazing Spider-Man, you know, I didn't really know what to think because at this point I had pretty much given up on a Spider-Man movie that I legitimately wholly liked. And I was like, well, if it's just going to be like the Sam Raimi movies again, then, you know, who cares, whatever. So I went and saw it. And, you know, I hate to say that I went in with low expectations, but I kind of did. I wasn't really expecting to be knocked out of the park. I just was curious about it. And I actually, I liked it even less than I liked the Sam Raimi ones. Because it didn't even have the charm of being a Sam Raimi movie. And, like, the few things that Sam Raimi's Spider-Man had done right, it's almost like this movie went out of their way to not do right. Like for example...
Specifically Peter Parker.
Yeah, everything about Peter Parker's personality and character is... I don't want to say wrong as if there's, like, a golden way that Peter should be. But it's just... Strays really far from, I think, what
I always thought is Peter Parker was like a cool skateboarding all the time type of guy.
Right, exactly. They made him into like a teen Nick main character.
Yeah.
Like, where's the nerd? Like, where's the guy who sits in his room doing like science experiments and who, you know, we never get to see Peter Parker as an actual good guy.
Right.
Like, in the movie, he's always self-absorbed. He always is, like, just going after the girl. Just going after Mary Jane. Whereas in the comics, it's like, the guy has a tremendous guilt complex.
I got a very CW vibe from those movies.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Like, a huge thing in the comics is that, like, Peter can't go and be, like, a cool guy. And he can't go and do all the things that most teens would want to do.
Yeah.
Because he is working for his family. You know, he's trying to help Aunt May. These are things that are responsibilities to him, and they come first.
Literally the entire thing behind Spider-Man is responsibility.
Yeah.
Like, that's the main...
And all we ever see him do in the movies is be petulant. Mm-hmm. And, like, want to reject that. And
yeah.
That's fucking
like,
annoying.
Like, he's fine, and then he gets powers that turn him into a superhero.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly.
He handles it probably the same way that a normal kid would handle being a superhero.
I mean, maybe, yeah.
But that's not why we want to watch Spider-Man.
Yeah, exactly. I don't want to see Spider-Man being he just doesn't come off as, like, a hero. He doesn't... In fact, none of them do. None of the superheroes in these new movies come off as heroes, because we almost never see them helping anybody.
Right.
They're just hitting things and dodging cars and explosions.
They're like violence cannons.
Yeah, we never just really...
Point me in a direction.
Right.
I think Captain America might be the worst about that, because he's literally just always going somewhere to fight something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but at least he's fighting people who are, I guess, actually evil.
And I mean, yeah, I like Captain America. I like how Chris Evans portrays
him. I like
Winter
Soldier for the most part. Except, again, the issue here is that you've got an almost smart, like, they build, like, an espionage movie, kind of.
Yeah.
But then that espionage movie has, like, maybe a solid half hour of just machines guns going off and cars flipping.
It's got, like, Star Destroyers.
Yeah. I mean, after a while, it's, like, the scale of the violence is so insane. And by the way, those, like, battleships look like they're fucking straight out of Strider.
Right.
For Genesis. Just as a side note there. But yeah, the scale of the violence gets so ridiculous that when by the end of the movie someone pulls a handgun, you're just like, whatever.
Right.
Who cares?
That is a big thing.
You're never going to hit Captain America.
He's going to eat those bullets.
I just watched Captain America dodge hundreds of rounds of machine gun fire.
High caliber machine gun fire.
There's no way one guy's going to shoot him.
Drama God. Underestimated my sidearm, Mr. And he just gets hit in the face. And
right.
You're like, oh, cool.
Right.
Captain America knocked the shit out of that guy.
That's what he does. He's fucking invincible. At no point in that movie are you ever like, oh no, is Cap going to make it? Because like, no, he's always going to. He's fucking Captain America. You're worried more about Nick Fury than you are about Captain America.
Yeah. Punching Nazis like you're supposed to.
Yeah. Yeah. So, by the end of this new Spider-Man movie, I was like, okay, well, that was just like kind of soulless a take on the character as you can get. It's like if you described Spider-Man to a computer and then also fed in, like, some buzzwords that you wanted to make sure it hit.
A BuzzFeed article?
Like, skateboard, teen romance, rye humor, tilapia.
A good tilapia.
Can you explain that? Because I haven't seen the movie.
Okay, so there's a scene where there's, like, this whole, like, jokey conversation about tilapia and what it is and
I don't even remember it. It's
stupid. And it's like definitely supposed to be like this kind of winky, like Peter and Gwen Stacy are flirting type thing.
But it's fish.
Well, yeah, I mean, I know what tilapia is. I'm positive Peter Parker would know what tilapia is. He's not a dummy. He's not an idiot. Big science nerd.
Right.
I'm sure he knows what tilapia is.
Is he just, like, working out his open mic material at some point?
Yeah, well, that's the thing, is that, like, the dude always seems like there's a bit going on.
Right.
And, like, that makes the dynamic between Peter and Spider-Man a lot less interesting when they act exactly the same.
There's a typo, and it said smarm instead of Peter Parker. It's very smart.
Right, absolutely. Like, Peter Parker's the kind of character who should be so distracted by whatever horrible thing is happening in his life that he doesn't have time to flirt with women.
Right.
Like, the women in the comics are always like, that Peter Parker, so moody.
Well,
because he's always, like, walking away from them, clutching his head, and like, God, what am I going to do about the Vulture?
In the 60s, like, every comic was, like, at least, like, 40% Archie.
Yeah.
So there were months and months and months and months and months of, like, will they, won't they, with, like...
Gwen Stacy starts off, like, as an antagonist.
Yeah, she hates him.
Yeah, she detests Peter Parker. She and Flash and Harry Osborn mercilessly bully him.
A recurring theme of the old Spider-Man comics is Peter Parker, people bully him for no reason.
Yeah, people are just unbelievably mean to Peter Parker all the time for no reason. Even after he gets his superpowers.
Yeah.
I think he got teased a lot by Bonesaw, I want to say.
The Bonesaw!
Yeah. There's actually a really...
Bonesaw is pretty...
There's a great early Spider-Man comic where he gets challenged to a boxing match with Flash Thompson.
Yeah, it's great. Awesome.
Yeah, and he like barely wings him at one point and just sends him flying backwards.
Yeah, he has to like hold back the entire time because obviously he's fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah, and he could punch his head off if he like even lets go for a second.
And he holds back though. Yeah, he does. He absolutely holds back.
Yeah,
which I knew about that comic.
Yeah,
as when I saw the first Spider-Man movie.
Yeah,
and the first Spider-Man movie starts with Peter Parker beating the shit out of Flash as soon as he gets his powers. He ninja fights him. Yeah, and I remember being like, Peter, that's not what Peter Parker would do.
But the reason I bring that up is that even after he like Bato Jutsus Flash Thompson into like unconsciousness, his like stupid bully friends like all gather around Flash is like, "Oh, you must have cheated, Parker. What are you doing, Flash? Are you being nice to Bato?"
Right? Yeah. Yeah.
You cheat, like you just cheat in a fight. Yeah. That would be so... Hold on 1 second. Okay, now I'm a ninja master. Batman
slips the brick into the the glove.
Yeah.
There's an actually, because I read like the first two like hardback collections of Ultimate Spider-Man, and I believe the Ultimate Universe at this point is just as bad as the regular Marvel.
It might be worse.
But in the beginning, like its portrayal of Peter Parker and stuff is actually really neat.
Yeah,
because he has to allow himself to continue to be bullied, or else they're going to know something's up.
Exactly,
because like students at the school are like not as stupid as they were in the original 60s Spider-Man. Like they know Spider-Man is someone at their school.
Yeah.
So he has to like, because he knows that someone is coming from behind to kick him.
Right. But so he has to let it happen.
He just has to let it happen.
And they never make Peter Parker do that in the new things.
Right.
Peter Parker's always... I actually watched an episode of The Ultimate Spider-Man, which is the cartoon on Disney XD, which I don't like.
Okay.
Where there's another kid who's getting bullied and Peter's trying to help him. Peter Parker's the kid who helps the bullied kids now. He's not the kid who gets bullied.
Of course not.
Because Peter now, I mean, he's already done being bullied. Obviously, he's Spider-Man now. He's not going to get bullied anymore. And it's like, that's not how bullying works. They don't just stop because you're like, I have confidence now.
Yeah.
I'm never going to be bullied again. Like, quite frankly, even if Peter Parker beat up every bully he ever had every time they fought him, the way bullying works, they would never stop bullying him.
No.
They would just not engage him physically.
Yeah.
They would still make his life miserable in every way that they could.
Yeah, this was discussed on the first episode.
Right.
Because you stood up for yourself and it just continued in a different way.
Right, yeah.
They become like sniveling Igors.
Yeah. Right,
just working against you constantly.
It must be quelled.
Yeah.
That's the sort of thing. You can't just decide one day you're like, I'm not getting bullied anymore.
But surely...
Well, it's not your decision to make.
Surely we can't have kids look up to a character that's being bullied.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah. Or someone, the idea of someone willingly taking bullying because they don't want to just kick the shit out of somebody.
Right, yeah, we can't have that.
You don't want to identify with a character anymore. It's always about, like, aspiration.
Yeah.
And that Peter Parker is an aspirational main character. He's not a character that's on our level. He's someone we want to be.
Right.
And that was definitely, like, someone meddling at the top level being like, I want this Peter Parker to be cool.
Right.
I want this Peter Parker to be someone people want to be. But I don't want some fucking nerd in my movie.
That's the worst thing about it, is that, like, I remember reading those...
on backpacks.
I remember reading those early Spider-Man comics, and the idea was that Peter Parker was, like, back then, it was somebody you wanted to be, because he was...
Right.
It was, like, to show a kid, like, you know, all this... It's almost like the Clark Kent Superman thing. It's like, you know, you might... to the rest of the world, look like this big nerd. You might look like this target. You might look like this joke to them or whatever. But, you know, you have your own inner life, and those people don't know you or what you can do or what's inside you or whatever.
Right. The reason he likes being Spider-Man, like, throughout the comic, before they change writers, I guess, is because it gets him out of all of his problems.
It allows him a freedom.
Yeah.
Very briefly. Although it always comes out back to bite him in the end.
Because, yeah, always.
Because when he's irresponsible as Spider-Man, things go bad. But yeah, it's an outlet initially.
Well, I think there's a lot of something to be said of if you spend $13 to go see a ticket to a movie, does the vast majority want to see someone who's, you know, dealing with personal issues or this, that, or do you just want to see somebody kick somebody's ass for 2 hours?
Right. People don't know what they want.
I know.
To be honest,
I agree.
They don't know. But... no, they don't. And I think you could do a Spider-Man movie that everyone would still want to go see. And still depict him.
You know what I think?
In a way,
you know why I think Amazing Spider-Man was the way it was? Is that they were looking at the Marvel movies and were going, you know, everyone's so funny and clever and they always have like a quip.
Yeah.
Can we do that?
Yeah.
Can you make Peter Parker funny?
Yeah.
But he doesn't have anyone to bounce off of.
You know, also it didn't work either because Amazing Spider-Man 2, despite, you know, $1 billion investment from Sony on marketing and special effects and stuff, was by far the least successful Spider-Man movie in their entire franchise.
Yeah.
So, like, something's going on. People are getting sick of something.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know if they know it.
I think people will respond unconsciously when something is made artificially.
I'm curious what's going to happen with the Avengers 2.
Right.
Because
it's still going to break.
Disney's had nothing but luck with their stuff lately.
They've had nothing but
success.
They bought Star Wars. They bought Marvel. The bottom falls out of this stuff, and it comes back, and then it falls out again.
Yeah.
I mean, where were Marvel and Star Wars 25 years ago? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
And they've had sort of a steady climb up because of movies, but I can't see that
sustaining
itself. I
think if anyone can keep stuff in the public eye and keep it...
Yeah, but not even Disney has been a monolith forever.
Well,
like,
they had their ups and downs. But, like, lately...
Their ups are really, really far up.
They've also been riding a high for a while now. Like, they haven't had a real big knock.
When was the last thing that was Disney-related?
But, like,
wasn't
it just takes one movie.
Yeah,
it takes one movie to go wrong.
The last thing I remember that was Disney-related that wasn't even, like, massive was Princess and the Frog.
Right.
Yeah, that was, like, their last risk, basically.
Because it was real animation.
It was also, like, their last 2D animated movie.
And not it was the first black princess.
Yeah.
Supposedly.
That was like the last
major
risk.
It was based in New Orleans and stuff, and there was a voodoo shaman.
It wasn't.
It's funny, because it felt like the most Disney movie to me in a long time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
It is.
Well,
The whole idea behind it is that it was a
throwback.
Yeah,
absolutely.
That sort of thing.
And they moved away from those movies because they weren't, like, in vogue anymore. You know what I mean? They moved away from that stuff. So they tried to move back to it. Didn't really work out, though. I still haven't seen Frozen. I don't really want to.
Number 3.
Is it the third time that I've...
Third time in a row.
That I've mentioned Frozen on
Yes.
That's weird.
I was waiting for it.
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
Is it like
I knew it would happen.
Now?
Okay. I guess it is.
Because you started with Andrew,
Scott,
I think. And then
Scott.
I'm keeping a running tally. Yeah.
Let it go.
You know what, Adam?
Let it go.
Get hold of it.
It's really hot in here.
It's
like
warm.
It's pretty warm, but the cold never bothered me.
Do you want to make a snowman?
Are we out of frozen lines? Because I think those are the only ones we know.
That's it.
Okay. Do you want to make a snowman in Frozen?
Yes.
Okay.
It's like the first one.
Do you
want
to build a snowman?
Do you want to build whatever?
I think. Dude, I haven't seen it either.
All right.
Do you want to talk? Do you want a talking snowman?
You want a talking snowman? Oh.
I remember seeing that snowman the first time that they showed like an ad for that movie and just being like, that's the most detestable thing I've ever seen.
The Rotten Tomatoes synopsis of Frozen before Frozen came out was two sisters, Elsa and whatever, go on an adventure with their friend Olaf, a funny talking snowman. So, like, everyone thought that the movie was just going to bomb because all this stuff was coming out, like the fucking people that made it were like horrible misogynists.
Right.
Wrong. And Disney wins all the time.
Yeah.
Always wins.
Yep.
I'm telling you, dude.
Even like Pixar's Cars, like through Disney and everything. Cars is
the universally panned Pixar movie,
and it makes so much money.
Yeah. Cars is their most financially successful movie.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It was the most heavily marketed and stuff.
It's crazy. Yeah. I don't know, man. Who knows? Yeah.
But I don't think Pixar's artsy movies are very good either. If I'm being honest. They all...
Well, like, Wall-E?
I'm not a huge...
I haven't seen Wall-E, but I feel like you could do a Dark Side of the Moon with Pixar movies. Is you could play them all simultaneously, they hit the exact same notes at each moment.
Oh, no, there's a definite formula. Every single one of their movies has been the same thing. It's someone that you, like...
They're except all for identical.
Up. Except for Up, pretty much it's just this thing that doesn't have any sort of life. We give it life, and then we tell a story with it.
Well, I mean, fish have lives.
No, they're fucking
soda bugs.
No, they're both just good eating.
But no, there actually is.
Can't eat them anymore.
There is actually a formula to Pixar movies.
Yeah,
and it involves lots and lots of chasing.
Yeah, that's the family safe action.
Every Pixar movie is about 50% chase scene.
Even The Incredibles,
almost especially The
Incredibles.
Wall-E, I think, is probably. I think Wall-E is almost just a chase scene.
Okay.
Punctuated with some nice little moments. But there are some, like, sustained chase scenes throughout Wall-E.
I actually remember
there's a little guy who cleans a bunch of stuff. He's really cute.
No, I liked Wall-E.
I like you, Wall-E.
Listen, I like Pixar. I like the movies when I go see them.
There's a chase scene.
I never rush out to go see them, though. And the reason is that I know they're going to be all right. I know they're going to be good, and I'm going to like them okay.
I think what I'm trying to get at here is...
They don't seem to take risks... I don't think that they push the technical side tremendously, but they don't push, like, the storytelling. They're not maturing the animated film.
The new one's going to be really interesting because it goes through all the different parts of the girl's brain.
Okay, we'll see. I think it'll probably just be a bunch of chase scenes. I'm gonna close
this. her fighting her own brain.
I'm sure it will be.
It will be, because I am doubt, I am the bad guy.
I'm going to close this out by... this out by just saying, go see The Wind Rises.
The Wind Rises.
I agree with that.
I can sneak in this thing about Metabots and Aldi's. I'd love to.
Okay.
No, Aldi apparently in Europe is like a legitimate...
Just a regular grocery store.
Yeah, regular grocery store. I think they're cutting to America is like, there's a lot of grocery stores there already, so let's try and fill a little niche.
They're dipping their toe a little bit into, like, a very specific...
Yeah.
I do want to go further into sort of this pop culture deconstruction that we've been doing.
Okay, that's fine.
Like, we have dedicated a lot of time to it.
The nerd glasses.
Yeah. I feel like that a lot of people are going to kind of misunderstand our intentions. Because we're not trying to say... At least I'm not trying to say that... You shouldn't like Pixar movies, and Pixar movies suck.
No, they're fine.
Oh, no, we love all the shit. Yeah, they're fine. At the end of the day, I'll watch that bad Spider-Man movie over almost every movie.
Go see whatever you want to see. I mean...
There's a lack of people challenging themselves lately that's kind of alarming.
Yeah, my point is go see other stuff, too.
Yeah.
Like, you can go see Avengers. I'm not going to see Avengers. You can go see Avengers, but you should also see Birdman.
Yeah.
And you should also see,
I'm gonna see Birdman.
Rosewater. You know, just, like, you should push yourself outside your comfort zone sometimes.
The Imitation Game.
You know? Yeah, that's another good one. Yeah. I had problems with The Imitation Game, but mostly I liked it.
Watch some stuff on Netflix that's in the, like, not the first recommended queue, but, like, three or four down.
Yeah, just, get out there. Oh, so The Wind Rises, I think, is a really good... Because this was, to some extent, a controversial animated film. When it came out over here, anyway.
It's about the guy who built the Japanese Zero.
Yeah,
killed a lot of American troops.
Yeah, it's a biography of the man who designed the Zero.
Being for those uninitiated.
Oh, the Zero was a Japanese fighter plane, basically. I don't know if those were exactly the ones that were used in Pearl Harbor, but throughout the course of World War II...
They were very heavily used and eventually were stripped down and turned into the kamikaze planes.
Right, yeah. So it's a biography of the guy who ended up eventually designing these. And I know on paper that sounds bad as from an American standpoint, but the movie doesn't endorse... He's not a military guy. He's not...
He's an engineer.
Yeah, he's an engineer. He's just building... He loves planes.
It's about the consequences of creativity.
It's about the futility of creativity, to some extent. It's about the creative process. It's about consequences, like you said. Because this is a guy who... He loves planes. He's a kid. He loves planes. Honestly, he designs planes. Every step he does in his life is towards getting into a position where he can design planes. Right? And by the time he finds himself in a position where he can design planes, the only thing that anybody wants... is military...
It's wartime.
Great. It's wartime. Right, exactly.
It's like how, you know, Mercedes-Benz in Germany and all that sort of stuff, like...
Volkswagen.
Volkswagen. Everything is for the war effort.
Yeah.
Or Mercedes-Benz made German fighter jet engines in World War II.
Yeah, I believe it, because you're a business. And
yeah.
So in this case, this guy, you know, he's... Ostensibly, he's an artist, really. You know, it's because he's... a creative designer. He wants to design planes. He wants to push aeronautics
to the limit,
further. You know what I mean? And he sacrifices everything in his life towards this. And you get... It's a very slow movie. It's a very deliberate movie. It's a very lavish movie. And one of the things I think that Studio Ghibli is great at is they focus on the minutia that brings realism to people's lives. You know what I mean? Like, they take the time to show you this guy's... It's not just exposition. It's not just action. It's not just moving the story forward. It's... You need to get a sense of this guy and his life and his habits and...
Yeah.
It just creates this really dense setting. You feel like you're with this guy for his whole life, essentially. And by the end of the movie, you know, what he's ended up designing are these fighter planes. And he's not...
He doesn't want to design a fighter plane.
Yeah, he doesn't support the war necessarily. He doesn't support anything, but it's like, this is just what they do. This is their job.
Yeah. I mean, I don't remember exactly, but I believe he wanted to build, like, a giant passenger plane.
Yeah.
Like, one that could, like, fly around the world.
Yeah. He didn't...
You're so damn good at what you do, you have to do this.
He had no choice. That sort of thing. I mean, it's the war, and if you work in a factory, you're making something for the war effort.
Yeah. And I remember that the government was even, like, kind of on his ass...
I mean, he ends in that movie, like, sharing a room with his boss, who's, like, giving him shelter because the government will just arrest him.
Right.
Not for any specific reason, just because they think he might be a threat.
Yeah. He's got... He knows secrets.
Yeah.
So, it's not a pro-war movie. It's not, like, a pro-Japanese side of the war. It's not even really an apologist movie, I don't think.
No.
What it is it's a look into the unexpected consequences of pursuing a creative vision relentlessly. Because by the end of the movie, this guy sacrificed everything in his life. He had a very brief relationship with his wife. You know, she doesn't really spend time with her. He just puts everything of his life to the sideline to pursue his dream. And in the end, they make a point to point out that, you know, for all the work that he put into designing these planes, because of the nature of the Zero and the Kamikaze planes, none of them ever came back.
Yeah, none of them survived.
None of them are left. Nothing of this guy's work is... All that he was able to achieve was bloodshed.
There's some sort of beautiful futility to his design.
Yeah, it's pointless. And at the end, it's like, what did he really... He's sad. He's upset about his life, because what is he... And, you know, that's a movie that you don't need to design fighter planes to feel that way as a creative person at the end of your career. And for this to be the last movie for an acclaimed director... who has spent his entire career pushing boundaries. Because it would have been very easy for Miyazaki to settle into a single genre or into a single tone for his films.
Yeah, and when you say Miyazaki, people think of a specific thing, despite his movies being pretty varied.
They're unbelievably varied.
Yeah.
There's so much diversity in what Studio Ghibli put out over the years.
It wasn't Studio Ghibli, but the first movies he ever directed was a Lupin the Third movie.
Yeah.
And I think that might be my favorite action movie ever made.
Yeah, it's great. Castle of Cagliostro.
Cagliostro, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, it's awesome. He's great. I mean, almost everything from this guy is wonderful. You know, there are these, he's hit every genre and every like style you can imagine, and honestly people know him for, you know, the few things that were released of his in theaters in America. Spirited Away. People love My Neighbor Totoro,
Howl's Moving Castle,
Princess Mononoke, and even just among those four you can see a huge amount of variety.
Ponyo
Ponyo
yeah just deal. There's tons of there's they're different. They're so different tonally.
Yeah.
Especially if you look at like Ponyo versus Princess Mononoke.
Oh yeah.
They're just they. You can, almost can't believe they're from the same person.
I mean, Spirited Away and Ponyo kind of follow similar things thematically.
Yeah.
Like the idea of there being another world, but they're so different.
They're yeah.
Tone and.
And style. Like that's just the tip of the iceberg. I mean, if you look at some of their other stuff, like a Porco Rosso or a Whispers of the Heart, it's just they're these Grave of the Fireflies. It's like they're just these wonderful, slow, evocative movies that are so concerned with the inner working of their characters' hearts, you know. And then for me, I look at how much has been done just by that one studio in that field.
Yeah.
And then I look at kind of what our mainstream film animation industry is, and it seems just so cramped and stagnant.
Yeah.
Because it's like nobody is pushing at the walls. You know, nobody is trying to get beyond the successful kids movie.
And it goes so much deeper, and it's so much darker than that, because there is this nasty underbelly to... Like, all of show business,
yeah,
especially
course.
In America.
Yeah.
But in the animation industry specifically, there was recent revelations that every single studio head on the West Coast, just every single studio head of every animation company, was colluding to keep wages down.
Right.
Like, they all made tacit agreements to not hire each other's employees. Pixar apparently doesn't pay that well.
Right.
If you're, like, an animator gunning for a job there. Pixar apparently doesn't pay that well.
Because why would they have to?
Exactly, you're working for Pixar.
The demand.
There are people who want to be in Pixar. That's like Google.
Yeah.
Like, what do? If you tell someone, I work for Google, and you're you mop shit there,
yeah.
The people are going to be like, oh man, you work for Google. You work at Google. That's crazy. I heard it's like amazing to work at Google. Whether it's like, well, what do? Well, I work for like a company. We have like 50 people. I get paid like fairly well. I have a lot of flexibility in my job. I have really great benefits. And it's like, yeah, okay, sure.
Right.
Who gives a shit?
Right.
They'd rather you be a shit kicker at Google.
There's no name recognition.
If there were shit kickers at Google.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's.
But I mean, what these guys are thinking, the animators probably, is like, okay, the job doesn't pay that well. The job is Pixar. I'm going to be there a couple years.
And then I'll move on.
Then I'll move on. Because on my resume, it'll say Pixar.
Right.
Exactly.
And I'll get lots of high
Who
bids.
Who wouldn't hire me because I've been at the
peak? But they don't. Because it's a conspiracy of a bunch of studio executives. And this idea came about and was enforced by the head of Pixar.
Right.
I don't remember his name. I can look it up.
Yeah, I can't remember.
I'll post an article about it.
It's no one that anyone would really know.
Jay Pixar.
Jay Pixar.
John Jacob
Pixar.
That's not really his name. John Jacob Pixar.
Pixar Heimer Schmidt.
Pixar Heimer Schmidt.
And, of course, he's been questioned about it, and he just absolutely defends his actions. He was like, I was saving American animation. I was saving this industry from itself. Basically tacitly admitting that the animators are worth more than he is willing to pay them.
Right.
So the only way to keep making their stupid, bloated $300 million movies is to keep wages down.
Right. Well, the other thing that is just, it's fucking hilarious, because I'm sure that if you look at the budget for The Wind Rises...
Right.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's nowhere near.
We talk about how, like, for traditional animation, it's like, okay, what can we do as far as traditional animation? We could pay out the ass for it, or we could send it to Korea.
Yeah.
All right. It was a guy named Ed Catmull.
Camel?
Catmull.
Catmull.
McCatmull. McCatmull.
How many more animals can we get into this disgusting hybrid?
McCatmull.
The Catmull.
The Catmull.
A mechanical camel hybrid. It's evolving.
They would
it
do
only takes in that which makes it stronger.
So they would do things like the HR departments.
I think it's from Harry Potter.
That's it.
The Sword of Gryffindor.
Yeah, it takes in and makes it stronger. That's right.
I love saying that about stuff. Sorry.
Yes, the HR departments would send emails to each other like, hey, what are your salary increases for this year? So we can make it exactly that.
Funny, we were thinking of making them lower than last year.
How about you make them?
What a great decision!
How about we get raises?
Yeah. Oh, you DreamWorks guys are really blowing it up. Oh, you know,
we ask how, like, these major effects studios, like the people who did the effects animation for Life of Pi, that movie.
And they just went bankrupt.
They went bankrupt. And we ask, we wonder why.
Right.
It's because the major studios aren't paying shit because they're working with each other.
Right. Mm-hmm. Right. Well, that's just terrible.
That's amazing. It's like, oh, Life of Pi is up for the Oscar for best visual effects or whatever.
Yeah.
Okay, who's going to accept it?
It's like all those game studios that close right after they release a critically acclaimed game.
There have been dozens in the last couple of years.
Yeah, it happens all the time.
It went back as far as Psychonauts. It's like, this game's amazing. We can't wait to play more from it.
Oh, that was happening to Psychonauts before Psychonauts came out.
How many copies did it sell? 112? All right, pack it up, boys. Looks like we're making Flash games from here on in.
We know what. Double Fine's done way better since they got away from working with publishers.
Yeah. And they also had to go to Kickstarter for a bunch of shit. Yeah. They're doing a bunch of grassroots stuff, which, good on them. They're the exception, not the rule.
Yeah.
Yeah. I also think Kickstarter is sort of like a Band-Aid. Like, there's something...
We'll have the Kickstarter episode.
The bottom's falling out, guys. Yeah. I hate to say it.
The Kickstarter episode will occur.
Yeah. Send us somewhere. To Australia.
We will go with the coolest.
No, we can afford... We can spend money on things here.
Yeah. Why don't we raise money to go spend it at Parks Casino?
It'll be a mechanical spotting trip.
We can go as safari people.
Yeah. That actually sounds like too much fun.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to bum people. I'm sure there's people here listening to this who do animation.
If anyone is listening to this, God bless you first.
So I don't want to... I don't want to, like, attack your dreams, but...
Well, no.
You are...
A change needs to happen.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean? Like, and nobody...
And it is, to be honest.
Well, yeah. Things are happening.
But it starts with not rewarding these companies for doing the same formula over and over.
Yeah. Well, it's just, you know... I think it's just that every time I've seen something come out... and be real smart and push people outside their comfort zone. And honestly, the only time that you ever learn, the only time that you ever experience anything new is when you get outside your comfort zone.
Yeah.
You know, is when you see a movie that makes you think a little bit or challenges your viewpoint a little bit. Like, I fucking listened to all of Starship Troopers, and I didn't like maybe 75% of what I listened to. And I probably would have thrown the book away if I were reading it to myself. Thank God I was listening to it.
Right.
But you know what? I'm glad I listened to it because... I was presented with a viewpoint that I would have never encountered in a civilized manner in my day-to-day life. And I had to consider it. I had to weigh it against my own. I mean, this book was almost directly attacking me as a person and what I would do to society. But I had to sit there and listen to it because it's on.
It's a bit like our high school history classes.
A little bit, yeah. And that was good for me, though, because you know, you get outside your comfort zone. You have to grow a little bit.
We have a society of consumerism.
Yes.
Which emphasizes everything should be tailor-made for me.
Yeah.
And especially that's happening now because, like, we make your order the way you want it, blah, blah, blah. But, like, this isn't
Don't get me started on food orders.
This isn't... we'll get into that next week, I guess. But, like, movies aren't, like, fucking hoagies.
No.
Like, you can't... A hoogie.
It's
not like water ice. You can't get what flavor you want.
Ever since we started this thing, I am painfully aware, one, of what my voice actually sounds like, leading to multiple contemplations.
And your dumbass Philly accent.
Yeah, and my fucking accent.
I educated myself out of that, motherfucker. I
can't stand that shit. It's getting worse as I get older.
I learned to talk from the TV.
The TV?
The TV.
No, we say it differently. And I had an ex-girlfriend tell me this, and this is a racist statement.
Okay.
Not from me, but from her. Okay. She said, I said TV like a black person because I said TV.
Okay,
I don't actually call it the TV. I say TV.
I say TV.
That's interesting. Like cement.
Like, if you guys can't see the Nike swoosh I'm making, but it's TV.
Do you say ambulance?
I don't say ambulance. I'm not that guy who got beat up on that bus by Epic Beard Guy or whoever that was. No.
Yeah.
But I find myself in weird moments of constant reflection when I hear my own voice say something that's mispronounced or pronounced by my accent.
I always hated hearing the sound of my own voice, but, you know, spending 10 hours editing some fucking podcast will really knock that right out of you.
I've listened to...
So maybe you should edit a couple episodes.
Maybe I should. Maybe that'll help me get over my acute fear of my own voice.
I think it would.
Oh, I can't stand it. I've listened to my own voice a ton because I talk all the time. But
right.
It sounds better to me.
It's way different coming out.
Sounds better to me.
Yeah.
In your head, you sound
because I've said something like I've mentioned on the podcast. I'll be like, I'll be on my phone, and I'll say it exactly like that. And I don't mean to emphasize it like that, but I'll be looking for another word in my head, and I'll draw out the long ooh sound.
There's shades of the guy from Workaholics sometimes when you talk.
It's the worst.
Which I think made me like that show more than maybe I have.
Everybody at work says I look like Bobby Hill, which is always really interesting.
Yeah, you told me that.
That's always the the worst. Whenever I need like a default password made for something, it's just Bobby Hill now.
Nice.
Which
all
makes right. Easy to remember.
Yeah, and hack your email if you're listening to this.
Oh, no, we have to. It's much more involved than that.
All right.
All the capital, lowercase, special number characters. It's like, oh, great. This shit's real fun to take 10 minutes to enter my password every single day. Shit's real secure.
Anyway,
real
I guess secure. What I was trying to say is that being pushed out of your comfort zone isn't something you should resent.
Yeah, you should be, like, happy about it. You should like watching or experiencing things that are
a little different. I said that when my dad said we were at Christmas Eve dinner with me and my family, and my dad came out of nowhere because my sister said something about, or Divergent was on TV, and my dad's like, yeah, I really liked it.
And I was like, not a dad movie.
Yeah, like, that's kind of weird.
Yeah.
Because my dad's a meat and potatoes type of dude.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's when he's like, no, yeah, I like the Virgin a lot.
No, you look crazy.
I was like, oh, shit.
I have a similar experience with my father, who, you know, my dad's an older gentleman, and you know, ran away from Egypt, ran away from from a super strict religious environment. And, you know, he's a very, like, proper, upright guy or whatever, and he's older now. Fucking loves Adult Swim.
That's great.
Really?
Loves That's Adult amazing. Swim.
Because on episode 5, I think you talked about how he would come into the room while you were watching TV and turn it off.
Yeah, yeah. He would do it all the time. But he fucking loves Adult Swim.
That's awesome.
I bought him Rick and Morty on DVD for Christmas. He fucking loves it.
That's amazing.
He absolutely loves it. He loved, what was another one that he was really crazy about?
The Turkatron episode of Aqua Teen Hunger Force.
I don't know if he's watched Aqua Teen Hunger
Force. That guy versus the internet?
He does South Park. I know, I guess that's Comedy Central, it's not Adult Swim, but I know he watches South Park.
Yeah.
But it's the same, like...
Edgy animation
one. Yeah, it's like the same... It's the same thing. God, American Dad, he really likes.
Which is better than...
I like American Dad, honestly, but he likes it way more than I do. I remember one day I thought that he was watching Space Dandy. And I was, like, blown away by the idea that he even, like, was aware of Space Dandy. But all he had to say about it was that he felt like it was a ripoff of Johnny Bravo, which I could not stop laughing about.
That is a 40-year connection.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
Fucking awesome. So, I don't know.
What if your dad was really into Space Ghost Coast to Coast?
I don't know.
It seems like that'd be likely.
I just love Wreck.
Because, like... Well, I mean, any one of us could be somebody's dad who's really into Space Ghost Coast to Coast.
Yeah.
If they ever put it back on TV.
I'm going to be the fucking weirdest dad.
Yeah.
I already know this. I'm going to be the weirdest fucking dad. I'm going to be like the dad from Steven Universe. I know, for anybody that's listening to that show.
I threw the pitch and it went right back over my head right there.
It doesn't, I haven't seen Steven
Universe. Okay, so Steven Universe is a show on Cartoon Network. For me, as a 28-year-old man, it's the only show on Cartoon Network I watch.
Holy shit, that's how old you are? You guys are old as fuck.
Yeah, I know.
Freaking. Thank God I'm still in the prime of my 20s.
The other day I was at Toys R Us buying some Amiibos. And I was applying for the
I call them Amoobies.
I was applying for the Toys R Us
I was there with you.
To save money.
Yeah, we went to Toys R Us together to buy Amiibos.
Because I realized that I should...
Normal shit.
It's a waste of time buying your toys and games from anywhere other than Toys R Us because they always have shit on sale. Like, it was literally the day that the Amiibos launched.
Too bad it took you until you were 28 to realize
that. I know. So I'm applying for the fucking Toys R Us credit card so that I could save 25% on my purchase. Because I'm buying 6 Amiibos and I'm buying Super Smash Brothers.
Oh, you're trying to make a sizable purchase.
And I'm buying Pokemon Alpha
there's
Sapphire.
There's some gifts involved.
Omega Ruby.
Yeah,
Alpha
I was
Sapphire.
Buying it for my wife.
Yeah.
Your waifu.
She played... The first Pokemon game she has ever played was Pokemon X last year after watching the cartoon, playing Pokemon Stadium, but never, ever having touched a mainline Pokemon RPG in her entire life.
That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, so I was like, we should play the new one together. We should play it together. You know, you'd really like it. And she was like, no, I don't like any of these new Pokemon. The original 150 are the only real Pokemon. And I was
it warms my heart that she carries the same supremacist sentiment that I carry in my heart as
So I was like, no, come on, look at some of these new guys are cool. Come on, look at this guy. This guy's awesome.
They look like shitty dragons and dogs.
Noctowl is awesome. He's so cool. So eventually she was like, fine, I'll try it. And so
Shininja is cool.
Shininja is cool.
And ninja-esque.
So we got, I got Y, she got X, and she just, she's probably listening to her. She just played.
Yeah, you are bellowing
shit.
This.
She just played the fuck out of this game. We weren't married yet, so I didn't get to see how bad it was. But she was, like, every free moment, she was playing. And it wasn't even just, like, surface playing. It's like, she was sitting there, she was super training her Pokemon. She was, like, doing the Pokemon and me things and stuff. And
you know what that is?
You have to, though.
You know you pick right.
Exactly. Yeah, I remember it was actually, like, really annoying for a little while because I just couldn't win a battle against her.
Get fucked.
I just could not do it.
There was not
a Pokemon in my team that could do a damn thing against her Snorlax. I just couldn't do anything. His name was Haribo. I could not do a fucking thing against him, so...
Wrecked by a normal type.
Yeah, but it's Snorlax, though.
Yeah.
I beat that
game... Oh, I'm just gonna get all my health back.
I beat that game with a Zigzagoon in my party, so I felt pretty... Anyway...
You have this strange, minimalistic way of playing Pokemon games.
I catch, like, the first, like, six Pokemon I see, but I only catch ones that I think look cool.
Right.
So...
That's an interesting way to play Pokemon.
Yeah.
Only find things that you think are cool.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly, yeah.
My friend Josh played the game with six Kecleons. That was his way of playing. And I guess Kecleon looks cool. He's like a little comedian.
Yeah, it's cool looking.
Yeah.
The real problem is when you find more than six Pokemon you think are cool.
Oh, God.
Because then you have to, like, switch guys out.
The struggle.
Yeah. So anyway, so I was applying for this Toys R Us credit card. And I must have mentioned... I think I was... Because my wife has a rewards card.
Okay.
So I must have used it for the purchase or whatever. And the woman who was ringing me up was like, how old are you? And I was like,
ma'am, I'm 19.
I'm 28. And she was like, okay, I was just wondering, cause you look young, and then you were saying about your wife, and so I just wanted to ask. I thought you were about 19.
Is this a married child?
What's going on? I was honestly going to say you guys don't look 28.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I know for sure that I have kind of like a weird Peter Pan thing.
going on.
I've actually had people from high school talk to me and be like, wow, dude, you look exactly the same. And it's like, I don't know if that's a compliment.
I just didn't grow a beard like you did.
Yeah, I just didn't start wearing plaid all the time.
I don't only listen to hard rock songs that have catchy melodies or Taylor Swift.
Look, I get it. We're not fucking Serial, but maybe we're still good. I don't know. We're not investigating a fucking murder.
We could.
Get over it.
We could.
Yeah, we could. Let's find one.
Let's investigate a murder.
Let's find a murder.
Next week, I'll talk about a murder.
One of us will be dead next week.
It'll be me
after I watch Birdman.
Yeah.
How did we... Oh, Steven's dad. The dad from
Jesus, dude.
The dad from Steven Universe.
You're throwing it back.
Okay. I'm sorry. I want to talk about the show. I love this show.
Yeah.
It's the only thing I watch on TV right now.
You're on
and
a
even
ball
then,
tonight.
I only watch it on demand because I can never get home in time to watch it. But so it's a cartoon that kids don't like on Cartoon Network.
Really?
Which, yeah, kids don't really like it. Which I think should be a good indicator if you actually like cartoons, because that'll tell you that it's not like the rest of the drag on Cartoon Network, although I do like regular show.
Regular show?
So, the main character is this little kid, Steven, who lives with these three magic ladies who are like Sailor Moon-style
The Crystal
superheroes.
Gems.
The Crystal Gems, yeah. They're inhuman...
Chibi-style.
Like, space
crazy
superheroes, kind of. They're kind of monstrous. They're a little scary,
I'm pretty
honestly.
Sure everyone listening has heard of Steven Universe, so
yeah.
You can probably speed that along.
Okay, so...
Dude, I haven't even heard of Steven Universe.
I think maybe your mom hasn't heard of Steven Universe, and that's
definitely
it.
Definitely not. But my mom's an avid fucking fan.
I know.
So, shout out.
Shout out.
It's
my responsibility to...
Play it! The second on-air shout-out. Dave Nonini and my mom. Two shout-outs have been thrown so far.
So Steven's dad does not live with him. He Steven lives with these three magic ladies. His dad, he doesn't have a mom. His mom had to give up her physical form to bring him into being. So his dad...
As most of our moms do.
Yeah. So his dad...
They just call it giving him saggy boobs in a bad batch.
His name is Greg Universe. He was a one-time traveling musician who went by the name Mr. Universe. He lives in a van. He runs the local car wash.
This is terrifying.
He has a farmer's tan, despite always wearing cut-off jean shorts and a tank top. He's got, like, Super Saiyan 3 Goku hair,
okay. But
completely bald up top.
Dear God.
And, like, a Homer Simpson beard. And he's just the most,
it does sound like you in 20 years.
He's just the most, like, wonderfully weird dad I think I've seen on TV.
He actually reminds me of the dad from this awesome webcomic, Wigu.
Yeah, he's a little bit like Wigu's dad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, this is from, like, the early days when we were in high school.
Yeah.
But go to WIGU.com.
J. Rowe,
Jeffrey Rowland.
Jeffrey Rowland. I met him.
Yes, and I couldn't because I was working at a ShopRite.
Yeah.
Fucking ShopRite, yeah. Man.
But,
the amount of shit we've missed because of stupid
Because of ShopRite.
I miss, like, so many concerts and move and all kinds of cool shit because of stupid jobs.
Stupid jobs, yeah.
He was nice. He was a nice
guy. Sure he was.
Yeah. We did have to come back twice, though, because he was at lunch the first time we went to see him.
Motherfucker.
Yeah.
He's terrible. He eats lunch.
So, but Steven's dad is, like, the thing that's cool about him is that, although he's kind of a hot mess.
Yeah.
He's also, like, sort of a really good dad. That he's really, really supportive of his son, and he theoretically is really responsible about it. Yeah, that's Greg Universe.
He really reminds me of Wigu's dad.
He's really he's weirdly a good dad. Like in the first episode, there's this whole thing where they're trying to figure out a way. It's like an adventure show. There's this giant red eye monster thing in the sky that's going to crush the town, and they're trying to find out a way to stop it. And his dad has this like, yeah, he's great.
Steven Universe has a pretty good design.
Yes.
He looks ridiculous. I love it.
So, his dad's, like, thing that he says is, if all pork chops were perfect, we wouldn't have hot dogs. So, like, that's, like, his mantra towards...
I'm gonna put that on my headstone.
It's, like, a super supportive thing to say to your kid, though, because it's, like, a super, like, oh, it's okay if you mess up, because...
your kid loves hot dogs.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's a very encouraging thing.
Hot dogs are delicious, and a lot of people would probably prefer them over pork chops.
Yeah, I personally prefer them.
Damn.
Yeah.
Not anymore, though.
Right.
No, not anymore. I like vegan hot dogs more than I like vegan pork chops, probably.
Vegan hot dogs must be so nice, because it's eating hot dogs without that weird feeling.
There's no mystery.
Yeah, what's going on here?
There's no mystery. You know,
hot dogs, dicks and lips.
It's funny, in my family, it was always lips and assholes.
That's
what we said. But, yeah, there's no mystery to it. It's nice. Yeah. Cooking them's a little boring. Cooking vegan hot dogs.
Because you're just like, is it warm?
Yeah, exactly. Okay. You don't really have quite the same
sensation. It could be a little cold and they'll still be fine.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I guess regular hot dogs are like that too.
Yeah,
though.
I mean, you microwave them for like 10 seconds and then you put it on
pan.
You
can eat hot dogs raw.
The thing is that they don't plump.
You didn't know that?
What's up?
You can eat hot dogs raw.
Yeah, they don't recommend it, though.
No, I wouldn't recommend it either. Yeah. But you can physically and you won't get sick.
All right, well, there's some things that Adam does enjoy. So,
there are things, yeah.
This is an Adam-centric.
This has been tradition. A lot of me, yeah.
I like it. It's good.
Steven Universe is on demand. Check it out.
All right. I mean, all the anger on the show is kind of coming from you, so it makes sense.
You like things.
I do like things.
I mean, when I get angry, it's at people, so I'm going to start personally attacking people soon.
That sounds good.
Anyway, bye.
Bye, Mom.
Bye.